And God wants you to come back to the point of, are you pursuing and are you seeking my presence above it all?
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Thank you for singing with us, being here with us today. It's Christmas season. Who loves Christmas, right? Like, Christmas is exciting. We are in this series called All I Want for Christmas. You know, there's a lot of distractions out there, a lot of things in life that, you know, Christmas is kind of comes our way and we want a lot of things, right? Like we would say we want clothes maybe during the Christmas time, jewelry during the Christmas time. Maybe some of us want the new next neat gadget from Apple during the Christmas time. There's a lot of things we want. Well, we've been in a series talking about really what God can provide and really what we want. And God's not here to give us all the superficial stuff. God isn't here to be a genie in a bottle. God is here to provide and do and work in your life like you never thought or could experience, to fill a void when you have a void, to give you peace when it seems like things can't be peaceful, to give you forgiveness and to help you forgive others. And we've been talking about this past couple weeks. Today, I want to talk to you about His presence, His being there for you. You know, how many of you say in the Christmas season, you love your family around you? Some of you are like, I ain't raising my hand right now. You're like, nope. You know, and you're like sitting next to them like, I ain't like, you spend that time, or maybe it's the in-laws, you know, no shout out there. But maybe there's those people in your life that you are surrounded by that make the holidays great, that makes seeing the lights, listening to the music, opening the presents phenomenal, a great experience. Best part, one of the best parts about having Christmas and the holidays is being surrounded by those who love you. I know for myself, you know, being around my parents and with my wife and our children and having Christmas Day together, Christmas dinner, open up presents, man, we look forward to it every year. And I'm so grateful because those things don't happen if it first wasn't for Jesus. That Jesus came to save, to redeem, to find the lost, the broken, the wanderers out there, and to bring them into a relationship with God, His Father, our Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. I want us to read it together. It's been a theme verse for us, and it reads like this. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That indescribable gift is no other than Jesus Christ. Now, we can't even try to put into words what a relationship with Him can bring into our life. You know, 40 times approximately, which depending on what translation you look at in the Bible, that Jesus is referred to as a gift. That James quotes and says that God is a great gift giver. That Jesus has come for His church, for His people. He sees us to give us an eternal life that is found in Him. My friends, if there's one thing that you can capture this Christmas season, is to make it all about the presence of God coming into your life through accepting a relationship with Jesus Christ in your life. See, when God shows up, He turns the impossible into the undeniable. I want you to understand that some of us are faced in this place right now with what seems like an impossible situation. You came in here and your marriage is on its last legs. You're like, I don't know what to do. God wants to show up in your life and say, I want to do something that you can not have any other explanation, an undeniable work in your life where it says, how did your marriage survive? Because of God, His presence in your life. Some of you have come into this place right now and you're questioning the whole thing of God existing, this work of fiction you think, and you've been plighted mentally and you don't even know where to believe, but for whatever reason, you're watching online, you're here in the house, and God wants to do an undeniable work in your life. Make you someone who didn't believe to someone who now believes. God wants to do an undeniable work in your life. Maybe you're in here and right now you are met with a void. I don't know what that void might be. Maybe you're in a tough financial situation right now. Maybe you've experienced a loss of a loved one or someone who's so close to you, or a broken relationship or something that is just this banging on your heart's doors and you don't know how to get through it. God wants his presence to overcome you and make an undeniable work in your life where you experience comfort, where you experience peace, where you experience his radical grace to do something that is so undeniable in your life. The only way you got through it is because God worked in it. And I think so many times we miss wanting and seeking and searching the presence of God. We want all these people around us. We want all these special effects. We want all these acclimates. We want our kids to be successful. We want acknowledgement at work. We want our spouse to always be pleased with us. We want our kids to always listen and obey. And God wants you to come back to the point of, are you pursuing and are you seeking my presence above it all? My friends, that's what Christmas is about. That we have a season every year where we get to celebrate the goodness of Jesus Christ coming into this earth, seeing a broken, wretched humanity, people who have messed up problems, a mixed up past. We say all the time here, we're imperfect people in progress, that ain't no one got it all together here, to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back, to those online. None of us have it all together. But Jesus comes to this earth and he sees you and says, I want a relationship with you. I want to love you. I want to give you a way out. I want to give you a new hope. And yet so many times we're setting our tables, inviting everybody else to the table, and we kind of dismiss the presence of God. We dismiss seeking him. It's kind of like this. I love this little cartoon. It kind of helped me illustrate. You can see it over here. It's kind of like this. I found the clog. You know, a lot of times what clogs your life are people in your life. It's situations in your life. And really God's saying, hey, I want to come into your life. I want to unclog what's happening in your life. But you first have to make it about me. Man, I'm pumped. We have, coming up January 5th, we have 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's one of my favorite times for our church every year. I look forward to it. It's kind of weird right now. I was telling my wife, talking to her about it this week, that I'm more excited right now, arguably, than prayer and fasting than I've ever been in my life. I'm equally excited I'm talking with her about some things that we're going through, that we're navigating, that I'm looking forward to, and it's almost up there with Christmas Day, and I'm wondering how God's working. I'm looking forward to it in life. And it just is this moment where I feel like God is leading us as a church, as a people, that we need to be a church that is so on fire, so in search for God, that it's unmistakable in our life. I was out walking the other day, and I just got reminded of what Psalm 63, verse 1 said. I said, God, I was praying this over each and every one of us in this season. We're reminded that Jesus comes. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Some of us are in this moment when it feels like we're weary, where there's no hope, there's no refreshment. And I pray for you in this Christmas season that you come in with this moment of God. Oh God, you are my God. I search for you earnestly and always with my heart. See, when God shows up, the miraculous, the great things of life happen. And I want to talk to you about four realities today, because when you make God a priority in your life, when you make his presence a priority in your life, he wants to do some things miraculous and move through your life. The first one for us today, if you're taking notes with us, is this: God comes to show us favor. That from 2,000 years ago, when baby Jesus was met in this manger and people are surrounded, that favor of this child is for God's people. When you look at the term favor throughout Scripture, it often is synonymous with this word grace. What favor essentially means is excessive kindness of God, preferential treatment. You know, God wants to bless his people. God wants to treat his people well. God wants to treat your spouse well, you well, your kids well. You know, I think sometimes we forget that. We kind of like, oh, God doesn't really care for me. God overlooks me. God wants to treat you well. Doesn't mean you're going to go through some hard things and challenging things in life. Absolutely. But he still wants to bless you throughout life. It's this message, this underlying principle throughout all of Scripture. Proverbs 8:35 says this, "Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord." In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, we see where Gabriel, this angel, appeared to her, her being Mary, and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." That from the onset of Christ's story, that God found favor in Mary, found favor for Mary. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 12, we see, "For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love." See, we receive favor and blessings. Why? Because God is good. That when God is coming to earth, he sees this virgin lady, this young girl, and says, "I want to give you favor upon your life." Why? Because he's a good God. Some of you need to tell yourself that this morning, that my God is good. You need to remind yourself every morning, God is good. I'm going through some stuff, right? God is good. He cares for me. He loves me. Psalms 119, verse 68 says, "You are good and do only good." God's the source of goodness. You know, this Christmas season, a lot of times we can experience the goodness of God in a variety of different ways. One of those being maybe God showed up to your life directly and has been good to you. How many of us in this Christmas season have something to be very grateful for the goodness of God? Like, there's a lot of things looking out. Have you ever been praying about something? You're like, "Wow, God, you've blown my mind away again." And sometimes it's this direct moment of you look back in life and you find yourself in this chair, maybe reflecting. You're like, "God's doing something good in my life." There's other times when God uses someone else to do good in your life, to do good out in the communities, to do good in the world. I love celebrating this church. Pastor Chris, he mentioned it earlier, but this church is making a difference, is doing good in the community. We see this past week, we've given over 400 some gifts. We have some pictures of it from our giving wall. 486 gifts, 41 families, 92 children were blessed because of the goodness of God. Look, we are God's church. God uses his church to present and to show his goodness to Southwest Florida. Give yourself an applause for that. Come on. I mean, it's cool building that relationship with our neighbors and other community members across the street. We had a senior outreach day. It was a phenomenal time. A group of 32 individuals met at Volante Senior Center and just ministered, got to hang out, showed up, were present with people. You know, never underestimate the power of presence that you might have in someone's life. Just showing up. You might not know what words to say, but if you show up, it can present the goodness of God in someone's life. I mean, these people were singing carols, they were making cards, they were playing games, and the whole place loved it. Like, "When can you guys come back?" The goodness of this church being demonstrated because God is good to us. We have his favor. We have his blessing. Never look past that. Our church, we support 53 missionaries every month. We carry them. We support them. And we also partner with different Christian organizations. Here are just a few couples that we support. This is Austin and Kylie Hines serving and equipping missionaries, families in South Africa, Central Eurasia, and Germany. This is Justin and Sarah White. They are reaching the secularist of Romania through a Dream Center, the DC Cafe, campgrounds, and other church plants. Nathan and Lisa Turney serving the people of New Zealand, and in the last 4 months have seen 720 be reached with the evangelism and a response of 150 people being involved in a discipleship pathway. God's goodness is at work. God is bringing favor to our church. We're seeing more people baptized. We're seeing more people come into the doors. We're seeing that God's favor is running rampant throughout our church, throughout Southwest Florida, those being ministered to. When Jesus came to earth, his presence is to bring favor to those who receive him. Our legacy offering is continued through the end of this month, and it's still not too late to make a final year in contribution to touch a life like you've seen who we're partnering with. God brings favor. Secondly, God also comes to remove fear. I want us to capture that. God comes to remove fear. In Luke chapter 1, Gabriel appealed to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." See, when there's favor, that means God's always with you. That means when God is with you, it can dispel fear. When God shows up in your life, that means there's not a lot of things that you got to be fearful in life. When God shows up, he gives you peace throughout life. I think many times we get a little wrapped up in our own security. How can we build our own security here? How can we make ourselves feel comfortable? Some of us men in this place, you think you'll be more secure. I love what someone told me first service. It says, like, men, sometimes we feel like, I'll be safe if I buy more guns, you know, that load that gun safe. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I asked for Christmas a nice little rifle, right? But someone caught me after first service and goes, no, it's not, guns don't make me safe, guns make me happy. You know, we're in Florida, we can say these things. But I think a lot of times we put our security in these different places. We think our safety, and we think if we do this, a better alarm system, better Arlos, better cameras out on our property and our premise, then you know what we can do? Then I don't have to be fearful as much. No, the only person that can dispel some of the fear that you're holding on to in your life is God. Some of the worry is God. Christians should be some of the most bravest and boldest individuals because we know who's calling the plays. We know who's leading every area of our lives. Psalms 27, verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" What right now is plaguing your life that you are saying, man, I'm fearful in this moment. I'm struggling in this moment. I got something going on in this moment. What do you need to give over to him and say, Jesus has come to dispel the fear? In Luke chapter 1, verse 29, the story continues, confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. The angel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary." Angel told her, for you have found favor with God. My friends, whenever you have favor with God, you don't have to be fearful. God comes to remove those fear. I'm reminded, I was fishing with a buddy and brought my sons with us. And you know, it was during the summer. And so, you know, when you hear Southwest Florida, what happens about 2 o'clock every summer day? The storms start coming in. So we're there sitting on the boat and we're out in the water and we're like, oh boy, here it comes. Like, we're trying to get in. You know, you always try to like, we can get one more cast and we can do one more, just one more. I'm waiting for the big one to hook, right? And one more, and sure enough, the storm comes. It's starting to, the lightning, the waves start getting a little higher. I'm sitting there. I'm a Missouri boy, so like, I'm landlocked, okay? I'm not used to, I'm like, how do I figure this out? I'm like, okay, there's the island. I can get to those mangroves over there. And so I'm like, getting this all played out, right? And so my boys, they come, and they're getting scared, and I'm like, yeah, fellas, like, join the club. Like, they're coming to me, and they're like, Dad, will you hold us? And I'm holding them. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good play, you know? Like, boys, it might be like feast or famine, you know, like, you better learn how to swim. That's why mom has you in swimming lessons. Like, we didn't know what was going to happen. And I just remember sitting there, like, holding them. I was scared to death. They were like, oh, we're cool. Get the snacks back out. They're eating again. They're sitting in the Father's arms. You know, I think for some of us, we see the storm brewing. And God's just saying, hey, come sit in my arms. I'll handle everything for you. I'll, you know, a lot of times we want to be the people that control the situation. How do we get the exit? God's just saying, come sit in my arms. Where there's just this assurance that we can have when we sit in the Father's arms. You know, I'm not God by any stretch of the imagination. And I remember just the peace they had. And if that's the peace they had with their earthly father, can you imagine the peace we can have with our heavenly Father? Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth with those whom he is pleased. Like, we can have peace when there's a lot of things to fear, a lot of hurt going out there, a lot of confusion out there. We can have peace. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came also when his presence shows up to understand that God comes to do the miraculous in your life. God wants to do amazing things in your life. God doesn't want to just show up and be somebody that you know on a Sunday. God wants to defy logic. God wants to do the astonishing. God wants to specialize in the extraordinary in your life. God wants to do the marvelous in your life. The first Christmas, we see all this take place. We see where this moment changes all of history. God shows up to this young lady's life and says that you will be part of all of history. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, Savior of all mankind. In verse 34 and 36, but Mary asked him, said, how can this be? How can this actually happen? She goes, I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in 6 months. See, when we find God in his favor, we trust him, we stop fearing, he then starts opening up our lives and he starts saying, I want to do some miracle working in your life. And I just want to encourage you with some of this is don't allow your unbelief to stop God from the undeniable work in your life. I think so many times we limit what God wants to do in our life. We like to respond in that first part of how Mary answers the question. She says this, how can this be? Logically, God, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. I don't understand the whole story. I don't understand the whole principle. And she goes, how can this be? It didn't logically make sense to her. Now, we know the story. We read it. We study it every Christmas. We analyze it. Many of us, though, we leave it right here in our own personal lives. God, I'm not going to believe you for the miraculous because it logically doesn't make sense to me. I can't get past it. God, I want to know the X, Y, and Z before I start trusting you. God, you want me to have that kind of conversation? Well, I want to know how that's going to play out. I want to know how they're going to respond. And then maybe I will have that conversation. God, you're calling me to change careers? Well, I want to know that you're going to financially bless me for making that decision. We want to know all the T's and cross the T's, dot the I's, get it all figured out, and then we will move. Can you imagine Mary? Oh God, how can this be? Can you fill me in a little bit and like tell me? And like, Mary was like, okay. Like, we'll get to the end of the story. Like, we'll talk about how she responded, how she navigated that. But for you right now, is the hang up for God working the miraculous in your life, you're simply stuck on the question, God, how can this be? Like, God, I'll listen whenever you start giving me the logic and the reason I'm searching for. God's saying, I want to do something incredible in your life. Don't let your unbelief dictate what God wants to move and lean in your life. Secondly, you notice the second part of the statement where the angel shows up and gives Mary the news. It says, people said Elizabeth was barren. They said Elizabeth was barren. You know, it's fascinating about the story. I equate it and I illustrate it like this. A lot of times I'll read like a fun fact or something. I'll like share it with my wife. I'm like, yeah, hey, you know, you're supposed to like to help us, lose weight. We need to have like 30 minutes of or 30 grams of protein in the first 30 minutes. And I say, like, they said that. And she's like, they said that? Who's they? Anybody ever been there? Like, you know, like someone quotes something like, oh yeah, I heard this from them. Who's them? I don't know, it's them, trust the source. Now she's like, anytime I tell her something, she's like, I want to know the source of what you're saying. You know, I think a lot of times, God shows up in our life, wants to tell us some things in life, and you know what we say? Well, they actually told me this over here. You know, I once heard them, you know, they gave me this. And so what happens, we let others dictate what God wants to speak to you in life. We either may pull some bad information somewhere, we maybe lean into someone who shouldn't be speaking into your life. And the question you got to always ask yourself is this: is God's voice the loudest in your life? Does that mean we seek wisdom? Absolutely. Biblical wisdom from people who can be healthily helping you navigate life. Absolutely. But I definitely think and know that if you don't allow God's presence in your life, you can't let him be the loudest speaker in your life. So who's speaking? Who are you listening to in your life? Is God the loudest voice? Is his word the loudest voice over your life? You're going through some things. The miraculous happens when you let God's presence occur in your life. Now we're coming into this season, prayer and fasting. In my humanity, and many of us, we've prayed for things, and it seems like God's still working those prayers out. And there's some things that we've struggled with, some things we have to navigate with. And maybe you're in here right now, and you're like, there's some things that only God can do, God can fix, God can navigate. It would have to be a miracle from him to help my broken child who's confused and going through some things, to restore my marriage, to heal this disease, to help me make the best discernment of decisions in the future. And maybe you're struggling with some things, and doubt starts to creep in. And you're like, man, why did this happen? Why am I going through this? A theme verse that I've adopted in my prayer life comes from Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where this boy is filled with an evil spirit, and his father is concerned that his boy is going to die. And the father said to Jesus, the father instantly cried out, "I do believe, Jesus, but help me overcome my unbelief." Some of us in this place, that needs to be a prayer anthem for you. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief, God. Because as you're familiar with in Luke chapter 1, verse 37 in the Christmas story, for nothing will be impossible with God. So you see, God is working and giving Mary favor, and God wants to bring favor in your life. God removes the fears over your life, and then God wants to do the miraculous in your life. And lastly, God comes so that we can put our faith in him. When we celebrate the arrival of Jesus every Christmas, the reason we give gifts is because we receive the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ and the work that he wants to do over our life. In Luke chapter 1, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called Son of God." Scholars believe that Mary was somewhere around the age of 13 to 15 years old when she had Jesus. So this encounter with the angel, Mary was probably even maybe a little younger. And I love this detail because it highlights the value of this bold faith. I always look back, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but one of the about 70% of the time you make your decision before Jesus, many people make Jesus their Lord, leader, and Savior in their life is before the age of 18. You know, you look at Mary in her life, 13, 15 years old, whenever this is taking place, and you start thinking, okay, this happened in Mary's life. She had this bold faith, this faith that God was going to do what God said. You know, that's why I applaud young people. I tell young people all the time, I'm like, don't let people squelch your dreams. Have faith in God. Have this unrelenting passion to pursue him. It might call you to some crazy places. It might call you to do some of the unimaginable things that you never have. Keep believing, keep trusting, keep being obedient to God. And I think for some of us who are over the age of 18, you need to kind of remind yourself of how bold and brave you were before you turned 18, back in your younger years. Some of you are like, you don't want to know me in my younger years, Pastor Blake. I'm saying no, but you want to have that boldness, that invincibility that we grow up with, that desire to do some of the crazy world-changing things that God's put on our heart. I think there's moments, the older we get, we start saying, hey, I need the logic. Mary is just saying, hey, God, that's the plan. How's this going to be? Let's make it happen. I love her response through it all because she understood what Isaiah 55 and 8 through 9 says. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, for Mary, it was never about belief. It was more about how can I be a part. I love her response. Many of us are familiar with the story of Jesus' arrival, but I love this response Mary had when it comes to this faith. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I am the Lord's servant. I pray that is our prayer. God, we are your servants. God, that might be something crazy. That might be something marvelous. But God, we're your servants. We don't know how it's going to happen, but we're going to serve you. We're going to trust you. We're going to call on you. We're going to seek you. You are our God. May we long for you. May that impossibility become an undeniable way that we glorify you. Mary, I am your servant. Mary, she was engaged. She didn't care. I'm your servant, God. Mary, she could have been stoned to death according to culture. She didn't care. She was God's servant. Mary, she could have been disgraced, humiliated in front of her friends and family. She didn't care. She's God's servant. Mary, people won't believe me. People are going to struggle with me. There's going to be a plight. There's going to be a stigma around it. That doesn't matter. She's going to be God's servant. Mary, your son's going to be killed for all of humanity. God, that doesn't matter. I am your servant. Is God leading your life? Are you his servant? Usher the presence of God in this place and into your life. Be so mesmerized by what he can do. See, you are blessed because you believe in what the Lord said. That's an anthem for each and every one of us. See, in Romans, Paul gives us a statement where it talks about ushering God's presence into your life. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Talk about a presence coming into your life. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. My friends, this Christmas season, I pray for God's presence over your life. I pray that you're searching for him, that you're seeking him, that you're thirsty for him, and that you're saying, God, I am your servant. God, dispel the fear. God, give me favor. God, do the marvelous, because it's the faith in you that I am saved.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.